The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. The disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. I have a problem with today's gospel reading. On one hand, I want to declare what I believe to be true, that divorce is always painful and is never a part of God's plan for our lives. But on the other hand, I firmly believe that God does not want us to stay in places where we are not safe, in places where our own life or the lives of our children might be at risk. And so I have a problem this morning. It's possible that just hearing the word divorce this morning, you already placed yourself on one side or the other of my little scriptural dilemma today. And it's possible that, like me, you'd much prefer to just put this text down and come back another Sunday. Perhaps it'll be better if we just go back to bed and try again. But when we have a problem with the text, the answer is never to simply put it down and walk away, and it is rarely to choose a side. Instead, I think we're forced to pick it up again and to take another look. See, if we step back from this passage and think about what it is that we believe about the nature of God, I think it's possible that both of these things can be true. That indeed, divorce is not God's plan for us. Divorce is always painful. God is in the business of mending relationships, not breaking relationships. And at the very same time, God is in the business of protecting the vulnerable, protecting those who cannot protect themselves. And so providing a way out for someone who is in an unsafe place is certainly a part of the nature of God. And so when I find myself picking up this text again and again, looking for the good news to proclaim this morning, I hear Jesus giving us a message that is bigger than marriage. That's bigger than trying to figure out whether or not we're allowed to get a divorce. See, the story starts this morning with the Pharisees coming to Jesus to test him. not an instance of one particular couple coming to Jesus and asking, can we get a divorce? It's the Pharisees coming and saying, is it lawful? In other words, Jesus, tell us how to interpret this scripture. But throughout the Gospel of Mark, throughout most of the Gospels, when the Pharisees come to Jesus to test him, it's always a trap. And this is no different. There are already many sides to this issue. Back then, just as there are now, there were those religious leaders who held a hard line on divorce and those who were more lenient towards the practice, even though all of them were reading the same passages from the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy. And so they come to Jesus not just to get an answer to their question, but to try to pin him down, to put him into one camp or another. And so they say to him, is it lawful? Tell us where you stand so that we know what to do with you. But Jesus isn't really interested in being put in one camp or another. Jesus is going to take a harder line than any of them would have expected. Because all of them agreed that divorce was lawful. It was a matter of when, not if. And Jesus comes down and says, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed this law for you. Because your hearts were already hardened, Moses made this exception for you. But God's intention was that we would live in right relationship with one another forever. This was God's intention. Right relationship forever. See, to Jesus, the issue is not a matter of one person coming and can we get a divorce in this situation or that situation. The issue is all of us. Because when Jesus talks about divorce, he's talking about broken covenants. And when we hear broken covenants, we know that we have all been a part of a broken covenant. We know that all those relationships that have fallen apart between our family, between our friends, between our coworkers, all those places where we made a covenant with one another and we have thrown it to the side because it was easier for us. We're all in this boat together. And so when Jesus talks about divorce, he's not talking about some people over here. He's talking about you and about me. Because we are all people who have broken the covenant. See, Jesus wants us to know that divorce is a symptom. It's a symptom of a much, much bigger issue. It's a symptom that points us back to our own captivity to sin. To the fact that no matter what we do, no matter what we try, we will always find ourselves choosing a path that is best for us, that's easiest for ourselves, that is most satisfying to us. Because once upon a time, we chose not to follow God's intention for us. So that's what Jesus points the Pharisees back to, right? He starts by saying, this is not, you know, this was because of Moses' or your hardness of heart. That's why Moses gave you this exception. And then Jesus points them back into their history. He points the Pharisees back beyond Moses, back beyond the Israelites' time in Egypt, back beyond Abraham's covenant with God, all the way back to creation. All the way back to God's intention for humanity. Because the garden is what God intended for us. Those moments when we had perfect relationship with God, and so we had perfect relationship with one another. That was God's intention, where we had no concern for adultery or divorce. Admittedly, probably easier when there were only two people on the entire earth, but still, We had no concern for what it meant to cut off our children from our lives or to cut ourselves off from our siblings over an argument that we've forgotten about from years before. We had no concern for what it meant to go to court with our neighbors because of a strip of grass between our yards. We were meant to be in perfect relationship with God and therefore in perfect relationship with one another. But we don't live in the garden. We chose our own path. We chose to tell God that we know better, that we know what we need, that we don't need these covenant relationships. We can do it on our own. And so everywhere we go, we leave a trail of broken and destroyed relationships in our wake. All because we have a broken relationship with God. And the worst part is, especially for those of us who like to get our hands on a problem and make it better, we can't fix this one on our own. And if we can't fix this, we have no chance of fixing this. So perhaps it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that this story is followed by children coming to Jesus. Because any time we think about divorce in our culture, we immediately start to think about kids. So perhaps it's no surprise that Mark was doing the same thing. And so these children are running to Jesus, and the disciples speak sternly to them. Now, if you've been following along over the past couple weeks, if you've been keeping track at home, then you know that for 3 Sundays in a row now, children have made an appearance in our gospel readings. And this isn't just by some Sunday morning trickery of putting different scripture pieces together. This is the end of Mark chapter 9 through the beginning of Mark chapter 10. Children making 3 different appearances. First, we hear that whoever welcomes a child welcomes Jesus. Then we hear what happens if you put a stumbling block in front of one of these children. And then today, these children run to Jesus. And it's at moments like this that I'm reminded that the disciples really are not as quick as we might want them to be. Because it was moments ago that Jesus told them what happens when you put a stumbling block in front of one of these little ones. And here they are, being the very stumbling blocks against which Jesus warned, preventing these children from coming to Jesus. And so Jesus stops them and reminds them and reminds all of us that it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. The kingdom of God belongs to children. And we might ask ourselves, why on earth, why in heaven, would God turn this over to children? Because children know that they are dependent on someone else to care for them. Now listen, I have a 3-year-old, and so I know as well as anybody else that our children can be fiercely independent and desperately want to care for themselves. But children, especially young children, know in their bones that they need loving adults to care for them. And so they come to you when they are hungry. They run to you when they're learning to read. They cry out to you when they fall off their bike. And they cry into you when their relationships fall apart. Jesus' call to each of us is not a matter of condemning or blessing this practice of divorce. It's a reminder that all of us are in a broken relationship. And the only way to fix it is to put our dependence on God. And that is exactly what Jesus is all about. Jesus is on his way to the cross to be crucified, to be resurrected, so that we can fix this, in order that we might fix this. We have to get ourselves right with God so that we can be right with one another. It might not happen in this life. In this world, we still will live with the pain and the reality of broken relationships and hurt feelings and everything else that comes with the tangled mess that we weave. But it's the promise that God gives us that the relationship will be restored. So how are we doing at depending on God? At depending on God to mend our broken relationships? Are we praying for those with whom we are broken? Are we casting them out? Are we asking God for redemption, or are we simply crying foul? Are we identifying those on the other side as sisters and brothers in Christ? Or do we call them liars and thieves? And if the kingdom of God belongs to our children, how are we doing at learning from them? And how are we doing at living a life that encourages them to depend on God? The pain of divorce, of the broken covenants which we have all experienced in our life, is real and can feel at times as though it is too great to ever be mended. But when we were so broken that we could not be mended, God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus into this world to heal all that was broken, to repair all that had fallen apart, and to restore all the destroyed relationships. And that is something that we can always depend on. God loves each of you, and I do too.